we have to be very, very careful. What we're talking is not so much democracy, we're talking organised hypocrisy. Hard facts. France walked to the edge of the abyss, looked over, and decided to turn back. This is the outcome to the country's most seminal presidential election for a generation, ending in a decisive victory for centrist candidate Emmanuel Macron over his far-right Front National opponent Marine Le Pen on May 7th. Regardless, the result carries a warning that it would be folly to dismiss. With just under 11 million votes received, Le Pen and the far-right, not only in France but throughout Europe, still have reason to believe that better days lie ahead when it comes to the forward march towards, at least in the minds of some anyway, destination fascism. Consequently, for those who consider the far right to be a greater threat than the extreme centre, you did not have to be a fulsome supporter of Emmanuel Macron to oppose Marine Le Pen and the French National Front, which is where we come to the apparent foolhardiness of the position adopted by the far-left candidate Jean-Luc Mélenchon, with his refusal to endorse Macron after losing the first round of the election on April 23rd. Perhaps the most telling statistic to come out of the election is the record number of people, 12 million, who were eligible to vote but opted to abstain. The turnout was historically low, which, given the stakes involved, suggests a high level of conscious abstention based on the narrative that both Macron and Le Pen are as bad as each other. This synonym is hard to conjure with, though. Why? Because though the extreme centre politics of Macron may have crushed the hopes of millions in recent years, the ultra-nationalism bordering on fascism espoused by Le Pen carries with it the potential to crush human skulls. And as everybody knows, though hope can be restored, skulls cannot. France's problems are the product of the neoliberalism and globalisation that has been followed by the centre over the past generation, most grievously embodied in the regime change fanaticism that has given birth to the bastard child of Salafi jihadi terrorism. Over the past 2 years, 230 French citizens have fallen victim to the same terrorist menace that has engulfed the Middle East, largely, if not solely, as a result of the extreme centre's obsession with remaking the world in its own image, regardless of historical, cultural or regional specificities. And falling on from that, the alarming trend of radicalisation that has taken place among a small but dangerous minority of young Muslims within the country's 5 million strong Muslim community, well, this is a challenge which by necessity will be at the very top of the incoming president's entry. It is to be hoped that Mr. Macron realises that this radicalisation is not merely a consequence of events in the Middle East, however. There is also a strong socio-economic dynamic involved, reflected in social indicators lower than the national average among French Muslims when it comes to employment, housing, education and health. The problems of integration in a country with a large immigrant population are particularly acute, where a strong tradition of republican values has clashed with the alienation that is the lived experience of far too many. A very small proportion of those, and it is worth stressing that it is very small, have embraced the ideology and values of radical Islam as an alternative to a mainstream from which they have been excluded. Let us be frank. Macron does not enter the Elysee Palace with the solution to this problem. But his presidency does allow space for a rejuvenated left to organise and mobilise along class rather than national, cultural or religious lines. And as for the EU, while the election of a pro-Europe centrist in France may well have saved it from extinction, it cannot afford to be sanguine over its survival going forward. In this respect, structural reform is now non-negotiable. Can it be reformed? This is a question. Yes, it can, but only if its member states abandon neoliberalism and austerity as failed mass experiments in human despair. I'm John White, and this is Hard Facts. Well, joining me to explore the result of the French election and to look at its consequences going forward, I'm delighted to be joined by Dr. Gilles Evaldi. Dr. Evaldi is a researcher in political science based at the University of Nice, and he's an expert in French politics and populism in general. Gilles, welcome to the show.
Well, good afternoon.
Well, you heard my introduction. What is your analysis of what this result portends going forward for France?
Well, I think the election went as expected. I mean, as the polls were showing, Marine Le Pen had very few chances to win the election. But now, as you said, I think Emmanuel Macron has a lot of challenges to meet in the next few weeks, months, and he has to reform France. And as we saw in the election, I mean, the French political landscape is very fragmented. We have two strong populist forces, both left and right, a lot of potential opposition. So I think it's going to be a very difficult task for Emmanuel Macron to unify the French again, because we have a very divided country over economic issues, social issues, cultural issues. So I think it's going to be a very difficult task for him.
And especially difficult, as you know, because he doesn't seem to be willing to look at the structural problems that I entered into my introduction regarding neoliberalism. He seems to think that it's a case of, you know, the same old, that the problem is not the actual system, but it's been the implementation of the system. And what I mean is, he doesn't need to be advocating a strong interventionist departure from the status quo to redistribute wealth, to invest in the economy, to move away from austerity. He's talking about introducing policies to enact the flexibility, more flexibility in labour laws and so forth. So right away, he's coming up against French trade unions, against French workers, a lot of whom opted to support Le Pen for that very reason. How can he reform France? Because it seems to me that so far he's only talking about tinkering around the edges when it does require, as I said, real structural reform.
Yeah, well, that's the whole problem. I think Macron very much was elected on a social liberal platform. But if you look at the results of the first round, he had only 24% of the vote, which means that a lot of French people, as you said, don't agree with this social liberal approach to the economy and the more structural reforms that are needed in France. But then because he was, you know, opposing Le Pen in the second round, of course, Macron did not win two-thirds of the vote. He was, you know, elected mostly because people wanted to stop Le Pen and block her from getting into power. So that's the whole paradox in this election, is that you might think that he has some sort of strong mandate from the French people to implement social liberal policies, but he doesn't. And that, I think he was very criticized for that, because just after the first round, he did not seem to realize that people had not endorsed his policies, you know, and that only a minority of the French had voted for him. So, yeah, I think it's going to be very difficult for him, and he really needs now to, you know, address the needs and demands from all the social groups that were left out of his campaign. And I'm thinking, you know, the working class, the middle class, the lower middle class, those people in small areas, more rural areas, where Le Pen got the most of her votes. That's those people that now Emmanuel Macron needs to speak to.
Yeah, now, moving on to Marine Le Pen, she did make extraordinary efforts to detoxify the brand. Indeed, after the first round, she moved away from the National Front. She departed from then, and she really stood as more or less an independent. Obviously, her success was based on her ability to do so sufficiently to attract enough people to her as a candidate. What do you believe that Marine Le Pen, do you believe she's been opportunistic, or do you believe she is committed to reforming the National Front? There's talks of her looking at the party and perhaps even changing the name. Or do you think she still remains, well, let's not put too fine a point on it, a fascist?
Well, I don't think she's a fascist. I mean, if you refer to the historic definition of fascism, clearly the Front National is not a fascist party. It's a populist radical right party, which is very dangerous for a democracy, because it's the sort of illiberal agenda that you would find in Russia and countries like that, so or Poland. So I think she is very dangerous, but I wouldn't call her a fascist from a proper definition.
Well, proper definition, sorry, because I think it's important for the listeners, because the word fascism is, there could be a danger of overusing that word, and I used it in my introduction.
Well,
what is your definition of fascism?
Well, if you refer to fascism, then you refer to interwar movements, which were clearly racist movements, which were also organized along the idea of a single party and sort of dictatorship and, you know, moving away from democracy. And that's not the sort of agenda that Marine Le Pen has, at least not publicly and explicitly.
Or certainly not at this point. I mean, do you not see that fascism was a process that developed along an evolutionary path from the 1930s to how it ended up in the 1940s? Do you not see a distinct difference in that evolution of fascism in Germany, for example?
Yeah, you're right. But then the question is it useful to use this term right now to describe Marine Le Pen?
Because that's a good point.
Then if you do that, then you give Marine Le Pen the best weapon, which is something that she's used a lot over the past few years, that if you call her a fascist, you will just, you know, give her the same answer that you're referring, that's something that just doesn't exist now, so you can still pretend and anticipate that she will move towards fascism in the future. But right now, as a political argument, and as I believe you want to tell the people who listen to your show how dangerous Marine Le Pen is, I think it's better to refer to the radical right side of our politics rather than fascism. That's all I'm saying. But then, you know, we're all free to use whichever labels we want, of course.
Where do the far right go from here in France? I mean, is this the high point, or is this, as I said, does this give them hope going forward? Or is this the end of the tide of far right populism in Europe with regard to...
No, I don't think it's the end of far right tide in Europe. It's just that, you know, I think, Marine, this election has shown some of the weaknesses of the Front National, and I see at least three main weaknesses from this election. The first one is the complete lack of credibility. And clearly in this election, we've seen that Marine Le Pen doesn't have a proper program or, you know, economic policies, and that the whole idea of leaving the euro and the EU is not appealing to French people. So lack of credibility, problem number one. Second problem, that she's still, you know, leading a populist, radical right party, which is anti-system, which is against the elite. And that's really her political DNA. And that's something we've seen very clearly in the second round debate against Emmanuel Macron. She couldn't do nothing else but, you know, criticize him, attack him. And clearly there was no policy or whatever. And the third problem, I think, is that the Front National remains a very politically isolated party in France. And I was looking at some polls, and even people who had voted for Nicolas Dupont-Aignan made an alliance with Marine Le Pen. Only a third of those people actually moved to Marine Le Pen in the runoff, which means that even for those people who share the same views as FN voters, not even the majority of those went to Marine Le Pen in the second round. So I think it's still a historical result for the FN. It's very high. You know, we're talking about nearly 11 million votes, which is unprecedented. But still, we see more weaknesses than strength in the outcome of yesterday's election, I think.
OK, very interesting. We're going to stop there for a short break. After the break, I'd like to move on to the state of the left in France and also what the state of the EU, what its future holds. But don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this. Hard Facts. Welcome back to the second half of Hard Facts, where I'm discussing the result of the French presidential election in the company of Dr. Gilles Evaldi. But before we get back to our discussion, we took to the streets of Paris earlier and we asked, what is your reaction to the French election result? Let's have a listen.
For me, it's the best scenario to avoid Le Pen, far right. I don't know Macron. He's young, no experience, nothing at all, but it's a new one.
Before what's happened in France, a lot of French people are scared about the terrorism, about everything. And that's why Marine Le Pen... to have these discourses. So Emmanuel Macron, he represents young man, smart, ambitious. And so Emmanuel Macron is the next president in France.
I don't trust in the project of Macron because there's a lot of blah, blah.
Because he is young. He is a little socialist and the new banks. It's better for me to have both.
Macron will be 5 new years as Hollande for me. It will be exactly the same program we had the last 5 years.
Okay, some views from Paris there. Gilles, I mentioned Jean-Luc Mélenchon in my introductory remarks. You know, he's one of the success stories of this election. We see a synonym with events in the UK with Jeremy Corbyn's rise, emergence we see in the US with Bernie Sanders. And I've said for quite a number of months now that what has happened in the wake of the economic collapse in 2008 is the centre ground has collapsed, or it's certainly close to complete collapse, with Macron result notwithstanding. And the ground has been cleared to leave the left and the right battling for the space that's been vacated. And Up to this point, the right has been winning that battle. Obviously, we see Le Pen, we see Brexit in the UK, and we see the rise of Donald Trump. I put them all in the same box. I don't know if you do. But what is the future for the left in France? It's traditionally been very, very strong, but it has had a problem dealing with issues, cultural issues and issues, for example, with the immigrant community, the Muslim community in particular, in terms of bringing them into struggle on a class basis. How do you see Mélenchon going forward? Where does he go from here?
Well, I think we don't know yet because the France Insoumise, Jean-Luc Mélenchon's movement, is quite a young movement. He's taken a very clear anti-European turn, and I would say a populist turn, if I may, in this election. But then again, if you look at the first round of the election, we had four parties of roughly the equal same size, you know, Mélenchon, Macron, Le Pen, and Fillon. These were all around 20%. So it means that in the next legislative, which are due in June, we'll have a very fragmented political landscape. So it is very hard to tell, you know, if Mélenchon will be able to really take leadership over the French left. But at the moment, what we see is that the Socialist Party is very weak. It's been really damaged by those 5 years of social liberal presidency under Hollande. So it's likely that they will have some difficulties in the legislative. But right now, it's very hard to tell because the legislative elections will be very important in June. And these are over 500 different local elections with different local settings. So it's very hard to predict how well the France Insoumise, which is a very new movement, very young movement, will perform in those elections.
And has this movement managed to attract many from the Muslim community? Do you know?
I think we don't have any data, but I think it's rather Macron that actually reached out to the Muslim community because he came up with this very liberal cultural agenda. And I think this quite, I mean, I was looking at his, you know, the rally at the Louvre yesterday evening, and you could see lots of people from, you know, an ethnic background, black people, Muslim, well, I don't know, but Arab people, and maybe Muslims around them, among them. So I would say Macron had a stronger appeal to the communities.
On the issue of terrorism, I know that's a very, very pressing issue in France for obvious reasons and for good reason. And this was seen as Marine Le Pen's strong point, wasn't it? Security regarding the immigration and free movement and so forth. But obviously it never managed to break through to the extent that she hoped it would in terms of propelling her to the presidency, to the Elysee Palace. But what does need to happen in France, in your view, in order to meet this threat? Because clearly it's not a threat that can be ignored. I'm aware of the now infamous debate that was conducted between Marine Le Pen and Macron where he claimed that if she was to win the presidency, it would be civil war. I kind of agree with that. I don't know if you do, but what does he have as an alternative? Because something needs to be done, both in terms of the actual, you know, the existing French Muslim community, where there has been some radicalisation taking place on the periphery. Though, as I said, I think this is largely due to socio-economic reasons, because we remember the urban riots that took place in 2005, when there was no ISIS, there was no Nusra Front, there was no the Salafi jihadism that we've come to know since then. These were urban riots, and these were social riots. These were not religiously motivated or fueled. So how does Macron manage to reach those Muslims and give them hope for the future that will help to forestall them falling into the arms of radicalization?
Well, I think he's clearly, you know, thinking that, as you know, and as you said yourself, unemployment is the biggest issue among the Muslim community and, you know, more generally the immigrant community in France. We have very high unemployment rates and of poverty and social exclusion and urban exclusion are key issues. And I think Macron only sees that from the perspective of, you know, his economic agenda. He thinks that he can successfully tackle unemployment in France, you know, give jobs to all the French people. So he's only approaching those issues so far, at least from the economic angle. And clearly he thinks that his social liberal agenda and the flexibility in the job market, giving more, you know, strength to employers, you know, more negotiation power within companies. You think that this will be the answers to the problems and that they will somehow reverberate across all communities in France. I'm not sure that will be the case, but he still, so far, he has clearly primarily an economic answer to this problem.
Okay, and this brings us over to the EU, of course. This has really saved the EU, I think, and certainly in the short term. A lot of anti-EU voices and parties. We see UKIP in this country, Nigel Farage, have been tweeting his lamentation over the result. I think he claimed, in his words, that the French rolled over. What do you think the EU needs to do in response to this? Because I don't think the EU can be sanguine over this result. I mean, the fact that Marine Le Pen got this far is an indictment of the EU in its current form. It needs to be reformed, in my view. The question is, can it be reformed? What's your view?
Well, I don't have a strong view about, you know, the EU itself. You know, this is clearly not my area of expertise. But what I know is that now in French politics, we do have a strong anti-EU current, which is represented by Marine Le Pen, by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, and by other minor candidates such as Dupont-Aignan and another few. So I think this is really something that the EU should, you know, take into account and should listen to those people. And as you said, okay, here in France, we've avoided the worst-case scenario and avoided Marine Le Pen getting into power. But we've had Brexit, and we've had other, you know, we've seen the rise of right-wing populism elsewhere in Europe. And we know that all those people, they they compete over European integration. They oppose the EU. So it's a clear message sent to the EU by voters, French voters and elsewhere. And I think this should be taken into account. But then it's about EU politics, and we are talking about a completely different game here.
Okay. And what do you think France would have looked like with a Marine Le Pen presidency? Would you have seen any good in that? Would you have seen anything that she was advocating that would have brought any benefit to France at all?
No, I think it would have just isolated France. And I think it would have been a very difficult time because, I mean, Marine Le Pen, the whole project of Marine Le Pen is, you know, is putting people against each other, and the people from different backgrounds, people from different origins, people from different age, gender, and so on. So I think it would have been a terrible thing if she had been elected. And I don't think she had any proper solutions for France. And the thing is, I'm saying that because we've seen that her key policy proposal, which was to leave the EU and leave the euro, even that was put, you know, under some sort of criticism by herself before the two rounds of the election. So even what makes the core of her platform was a bit of a problem, and she had to take, you know, some distance herself from her own policy. So I think that tells how unprepared and I think how dangerous she would have been as a president.
Indeed, Mr. Macron, during that debate that I referred to earlier, he accused her of trying to, in his words, escape from history. I think there's a lot of this in the Brexit vote, if I may say. You know, there's a famous quote when it comes to nationalism. The best summation I have ever heard when it comes to nationalism was provided by the Scottish trade union leader, Jimmy Reid, and he said that nationalism is like electricity. It can kill a man in the electric chair, or it can keep a baby alive in an incubator. And we see this in the UK. We have the expansive and inclusive nationalism in Scotland, propagated by the SNP and Sinn Féin in Ireland, sitting alongside the toxic, inward-looking, xenophobic nationalism of UKIP, led by Nigel Farage, or previously led by Nigel Farage, rather. And this is a problem because nationalism can be a progressive force, or it can be a very regressive force. It's certainly a very dangerous entity. How can the sort of left, or how can the centre-left even, social democracy is definitely in crisis, it has to return to its former character of strong intervention in the market, in my view, not allowing the free market to dictate every aspect of government policy, and reasserting the primacy of the state. And it's difficult to see how this can be done in the context of an EU, which is wedded to neoliberalism, which is wedded to austerity, which is, as I say, is nothing more than a mass experiment in human despair. Surely Macron understands this, does he not?
Yeah, but I think he comes from a different perspective. He comes from the left, but then again, he comes really from a social democrat and social liberal background. So clearly, I don't think he would agree with you. He clearly thinks that, you know, you have to achieve a balance between liberalism and social protection, and between flexibility and protecting workers. I think we are talking about ideology here. You obviously have a very strong case, and I respect that. But I don't think Macron would agree with you. But what is right, again, a more political perspective, is that Macron now needs to address the needs of all the people who don't believe in social liberalism, and there are quite a lot of them in France at the moment. So clearly he has to take those people into account. He has to take them on board. He has to run a presidency that will send some signal to all the people of France, not only those who think that social liberalism is the answer, and clearly the people like you think that we should go walk another path, should be listened to by Macron as well.
And finally, we're running out of time, but what is your analysis of the legacy of François Hollande, the outgoing president?
Well, I think it's a terrible disaster, both economically and politically, and that's why Hollande couldn't just run as president again this year, because I think he's achieved the worst presidency ever seen in France, I think, and the lowest popularity ever reached by a French president. And I think he's made a lot of mistakes, and probably the biggest mistake is that in 2012 he very much tried to appear as a left-wing candidate, talking to the working class and taking into account the needs and demands of the working class in France. And he famously said that he was against international finance and businesses, and he wouldn't just stay in the international finance. And he just didn't. He actually had a very social liberal policy, and Macron was very much behind, the spin doctor behind those social liberal policies. I think he disappointed the French a lot, and that's why he just couldn't run again for re-election this year.
Well, there you have it. Centrist Emmanuel Macron is the new president of France. Thank you to my guest, Gilles Zivaldi.
You're welcome.
But thank you most of all out there for listening. Until next time, remember, the only facts worth taking seriously are hard facts.